Gospel according to Luke, 15th chapter. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. It was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and he hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe, put it on him. Put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and he asked him what was going on. 'Your brother's come,' he replied, 'and your father's killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So the father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you're always with me. Everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Okay. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I was talking to my brother earlier this week. I think it was like Tuesday or Wednesday, I can't remember which one. But anyway, I was talking to him and he told me about an incident that happened in church last Sunday. And the pastor was giving a sermon and he was reading the sermon text before he started. And actually the lesson that they were looking at last week was the same gospel lesson that we looked at today, the parable of the prodigal son. And he was sitting behind this family. There was a father and a mother, and there was a son over to the side here. Yeah, and he's like 10 or 12 years old. And anyway, as the pastor was reading the lesson, he got to the part where it says, the father saw his son returning. He raced out to meet him. And then these are Jesus' words. He says, throwing wide his arms, the father said, and it's at this point that the kid gave his father a, poke in the ribs, leaned over and in a kind of not really too soft whisper said, "You're grounded." Now, that's a response that I can understand, you can understand, the people back in Jesus' time couldn't understand, especially when it comes to this kid. "You're grounded." And that's just the beginning of what should have happened to that kid. But no, that's not the story that we have, is it? It's like, this is shocking. I mean, if you heard about this from one of your friends, this is what my kid did, and this is what, you think, you're nuts. It would be scandalous. It would be outrageous. And not only is it outrageous and scandalous for us today, but it was for them back in those times. Jesus got to that point, and their jaw just dropped. What do you mean? What in the world do you mean? So, we'll get back to this. You just got to kind of hang on. We'll get back here and take a little side trip here. Have you ever been lost? I don't mean lost in a city or, you know, whatever, but kind of like Rebecca up here, you know, lost in the woods. You ever been lost? Yeah. When I was about 10 years old, I went to one of my friend's houses, and my folks told me, you know, you can stay there as long as you want, you know, spend the afternoon, but the thing that you have to do is you have to be home by dark. Now, you know, when you're 10 years old, you kind of play it right to the very end. Well, some of you still do. Okay. Okay, we'll go back to 10 years old. But you know, you play it right to the very edge of when you can leave. And I cut it right to the very edge. And as I started off, I knew that I was not going to make it home by dark because I had to go around all these blocks and stuff to get there. The only way that I had a chance to get home was if I cut through the woods. Now, I've been through this woods I don't know how many times. So I started off, because I knew where I was headed. But you know what? The woods look different in the day than they do in the evening. And the path was a little difficult to find. And pretty soon it was impossible to find. And the deeper I got into the woods, the darker it became and the more lost I was. And noises and sounds sights that during the day were marvelous and beautiful, and the evening just scared the living daylights out of me. And sparkles didn't come and rescue me. But eventually I got out, and I made it home. Actually, I ended up back where I started from, and I didn't care. I was just glad I wasn't lost anymore. Being lost can be a horrible thing. And I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life when I've not just been lost in the woods, but I've been lost in life. I think I told you there was a time in my life when I was lost spiritually. I mean, I totally just lost sight of God. He never lost sight of me, but I lost sight of him. And, you know, I told people I didn't believe in God. I didn't trust in God. I had no faith in God. I had no use for God. But I found as I went through my life that fear and fright from being lost just kind of increased in my life. And pretty soon, I knew that I needed to return to my Father. You know, he let me run. He let me run a lot. But I knew I needed to return. But you know, that's often easier said than done. I mean, it's real easy. It's real easy to say this. We've said it how many times? If you go away from God, God wants you back. He opens his arms. Just come on in. And it's a wonderful thing to say. But it's a harder thing to do sometimes. Because to admit that you've run away from your father means you have to admit that you're wrong. Man, I hate admitting I'm wrong. You know, being wrong just is horrible. We don't ever intend to go out and be wrong, but sometimes we just are. That's the way it is. But I can say that real easily until you point out to me, Randy, you're wrong. And boy, let me tell you, those are fighting words. And it's not only hard to admit to yourself, but it's hard to admit to those around you because, you know, sometimes you get so sure of yourself that, yes, this is the right thing. And then to have to admit to your friends, you know what, I was an idiot. Boy, I can't tell you how many times I've had to admit that. That I've been foolish. That I've made mistakes. And to say that to the people that I have been so adamant about that, yes, I'm 100% sure that this is right, that's tough to do. And it's tough to do with God. Yeah, I mean, I know that God forgives me, that God loves me. But when you have to come face to face with that and admit it to Him, that's tough. At least it is for me. And you see, I think this is part of what this parable is about. How far are you willing to go? How far are you willing to go with God and those that you have wronged? Because this kid really messed up. Can you imagine what it was like? He was so sure of himself. Can you imagine the conversation with his dad? His family? With his friends? Oh, yeah, I've got it. Going to do it all. The world is mine. Yeah, the world wasn't anything of his. And then to have to come home and admit to his father, his friends, how he goofed up. But in our own lives, can we put aside our own mistakes, our own guilt, our own follies that we've done in life? Can we go back to God? Can we not beat ourselves up with the same stuff over and over again? Can we humble ourselves to the point where we hear Jesus' words on the Sermon on the Mount? I'm going to read this from the Message because I like it much better. You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope, because with less of you, there is more of God and His rule. Can we reach that point in life? You know, and then we got the Father. Now, typically, we have this picture of, kind of turn this into an allegory. We have this picture of, that this is the way that God is, that we can go and we can make mistakes, we can run away, and God opens us up, welcomes us back with open arms, and throws this giant party, and He's happy to see us. And it's true. That's part of what this is all about. And those words, that image, that picture is a really important one within our lives. But I think there's another side to this parable as well. You see, parables are meant to draw you in. You don't just listen to it. You get to be each of the characters. You know, and it's easy for us to be the younger son, and we'll get to the older son because I think it's real easy for us to be that. But how many of us look at ourselves as this father? We like them better, this is God, not us. But we're called to look at this through the Father's eyes as well. And it doesn't necessarily answer questions as much as it makes us ask questions about ourselves and about the world in which we live. See, I think this parable is about us placing ourselves in that father's sandals. Think about the people in your life who have wronged you, who have said or done something to you that has hurt you tremendously. And maybe it's a spouse, maybe it's a child, maybe it's a sibling, maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's somebody that you go to school with. Think of somebody that has wronged you. Are you able to lay aside your pride and forgive that person? Because, I mean, this is what this guy did. The father saw his son from what? A long distance off, and what did he do? He didn't just kind of wait and go, okay, the guy's coming home. He ran. And you know what? Back in those times, that was a sign of no dignity at all. That was the most undignified thing this guy could have done. He ran to his son. He embraced him. He didn't even listen to what it is that he had to say. He just said, son, you're welcome home. Now, we don't know if he placed him back in some great position of power or leadership in the family. You know, I don't know. We don't know that part. But whatever it was, this child knew that no matter where he was in his father's household, he was loved. So are we willing to forgive those who have hurt us, to lay aside our pride, our righteous indignation, so that people might feel forgiven? Now this brings us to the last person. And this is probably the one that most of us can relate to. Maybe more so than the others. I don't know, unless you've run away a lot as a child. But this guy, this is the good son. So I always tell people when I show them my brother, that's Ken. I'm the good one. And everybody does the same thing. Anyway, this is the good son. The other one ran away. He stayed home. He helped out dad. He did all these chores around the house. He put up with what his brother had done. His brother had ruined his father's reputation. He had made their family a laughingstock. He had made the older son the laughingstock of the community. And so he comes home, and what's going on? A party! Nobody even called him in from the field. What's that say about dad? Think about that. Did dad go out and say, hey, your son's home, come join the party? No, he had to find it out by going and seeing this whole thing going on. And here he was, this good-for-nothing, rotten, horrible, despicable, spoiled brat, the center of attention. Doesn't that just warm your heart if you're the older son? Yeah. Yeah. And on top of it, your father's lost his mind. Well, really, he had. This kid had destroyed the reputation, done all this stuff. People had been talking behind their back. You know how dumb this guy is? Look what he did with his son. And now you've invited those very same people to come to your house and celebrate the fact that the brat's returned. Can you imagine not what was said to the father's face, but the conversations going on in the party behind him? You thought he was nuts before, he's even crazier now. And so he goes out to the older son and he says what? Hey, your brother's come home. Come and join the party. Now, if you're the older brother, what are you going to say? Gee, Dad, I can't think of anything I would rather do with my life. I cannot believe that you have been so wonderful and generous to welcome him home. Why, I would have done the same thing myself. Yep. So it goes back again to the question of us. How willing are we to look beyond the things that people have done, even to the point of embarrassing us to no end, so that they might know God's love and forgiveness? So this is a parable. This is a parable of scandalous love. Not just God's scandalous love for us. But this is a scandalous love that you and I are called to have for one another and for those around us. At one time or another, we'll all be one of these three characters, probably more than once in our lives. And the question Jesus calls us to ask is, how will we respond? Amen. So now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.